with City Administrator Gwen Crawford, and of course there's been a lot of stories published about the new public works building under construction on East Main in Valley City, same site as the former Valley Plains equipment that had been there for decades. One of the stories that I had done recently was that I was at a city finance meeting and Gwen Crawford told the city commission that, yeah, there was petroleum in the soil. Several months earlier, they had taken tests and there really wasn't anything that had showed up in those tests. But now that they've been digging up the soil, there was. And so she reported that to the city commission in a finance meeting in the month of July. Now, I have Gwen with me right now, talk a little bit about that. But also the construction of the building was estimated at $15 million. But then as you heard from stories later, that it had dropped to $14.3 million. Then there's also the issue I'm summarizing now before we do the interview about the material that's being farmed out at a location along Old Highway 10 near Drug Plastics. The city is doing that. So that's kind of the summary of what we're looking at. But the city would like to, as in the form of Gwen Crawford, answer some of these questions that the public has had about the process and how you're moving forward with the public works building.
Thanks, Steve. The city of Valley City is on track with its Public Works Service Center project as it continues to meet environmental requirements and financial expectations. The city has been collaborating with the North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality, so NDDEQ, and KLJ Engineering to ensure that any contaminants found on the property are properly mitigated. As you were talking before, in the beginning, when initial field work had began in mid-2024, at that time, the NDDEQ indicated no additional work was required. Some of that was based off of a prior phase two that was done in 2003, where there had been multiple soil samples submitted for laboratory analysis and results. All the regulatory criteria at the time, that was the North Dakota Department of Health. That's been now changed to the NDDEQ. They issued a letter stating no additional work was required, but further investigation through an updated phase two was recommended since that other one was, you know, so many years ago. So we were proceeding forward, and that's what we continue to do, knowing that as we went, there was different requirements that would be going. And part of that is as we continued to go on in the process, we would continue to do testing, send it in, and then if anything came back, we would work on mitigating that at that time. So that's kind of where we got to today. And what I reported at the finance meeting is from some testing that was done in June, that's the big piles everybody saw out there. We tested those and it came back with some higher levels. And to base that into what does higher levels mean, it was told to me a story when I was trying to understand all of this. And this was by a gentleman at the NDDEQ. It kind of resonated with me, helped me with layman's terms. And so what you have is anything that's 100 or more in a million. It's 100 mg per kilogram. You're looking at that and let's imagine a million people in an arena. And so their baseline of anything where it's a concern afterwards is 100 people. So imagine a million people in an arena with red hats and only 100 of them have white hats. So if you think about that, that's not very many in a scope of a million people. So then you go to, okay, what are some of our numbers? Okay, we're looking at 500. So 500 in the scope of 1 million is still pretty darn decent. And that's what then got us to our parts. We met with the DEQ and asked them, we worked with them on what are the options. And one of the options are there is different pieces that you can do. One would be to haul that off site and you have to go to an authorized actual landfill. And the only one that's available to us right now because of location and because of availability would have been Gwinner. So Gwinner, North Dakota was one option. And then the other one is farming the land. And they said we were a good candidate for that. And that's the way we chose to go for different reasons. We can get into that. So if you were to haul that and all the trucking costs and everything from the contractor to haul it down to Gwinner would have been approximately $2 million. And yes, we have a contingency to handle some of this because we just knew there was some unknown. So we needed to put that contingency in there. However, we were not, you know, $2 million is not what was looked at. However, this other option was estimated at just under $300,000. And that's what we looked at. The city chose to pursue land treatment and to by doing that, we'll preserve soil resources, reduce the landfill volume, and also reduce overall costs of the soil management, like we talked about. And then that soil will actually be able to be used, whether on site, if someone were to purchase that, or if someone else needed some fill, they would be able to, after this is all done, be able to use that. So that's nice to keep that right here in town. So people were asking how, I know a big question you would ask me too, is what does land treatment, land farming, same thing, what is that? So basically, contaminated soil is spread out in a thin layer on a designated area of land. It's then farmed like a field, meaning it's tilled, aerated, and sometimes mixed with nutrients. This process helps natural bacteria and environmental conditions break down the chemicals in the soil over time. The goal was to go up there and we're going to spread it out. And the area that was already identified was the city-owned land up by the four bottle drive. So we would spread it out over 6 inches and then we could just leave it, and they estimated it about 1 to 2 years if you just left it. But if you actually farm it, it could be done as little as a year or less. It just depends, you know, and so we'll continue to watch that. And if there's any interest in it before then we'd probably do some extra work to help get that done. And if not, we'll just leave it and let it go. But we would continue to test it and do the things per NDDEQ's requirements. So the other part you had asked about, how do they protect the other areas, those kinds of things? What about runoff? And so the permit from NDDEQ requires the berm to be built 100 feet off adjacent properties. And then they give us a guidance, which is for the berms. And that's what we went to. That's what the contractor would be going to. And they just stated it needed to be sufficient to prevent runoff. And KLJ was consulted, and based on existing topography, the berm heights placements were established, and then site clearing was completed and the berm was constructed per their requirements. In addition to that, though, we did go ahead and put an 8-inch bio roll out, and that's just as an extra precaution, but not as a requirement, but just because we knew it was a concern of people. The other part will be, they said, with the people have talked about materials that are in the dirt. So anything larger than a basketball needs to be taken care of on site. So that is what we're doing on site. And then anything that's smaller than that can be taken out, and then we are screening it. So Valley City Public Works actually is out there screening the dirt as it comes before we get it to its final resting place.
So in other words, some of the debris that showed up, like maybe concrete and some plastic and some metal and stuff like that, that's being sifted out?
Correct. Yep. That's part of that screening process. You may find bricks and different things that way. It's just because obviously there's contamination. We don't know what all was consisted of. So that's why they ask us to sift through that and go from there.
I heard you say $300,000 to do this. So would that be added to the cost of the $14.3 million total project?
No, this is actually included in the contingency. So because, like we mentioned earlier, there was some unknowns there and we didn't know what this all could end up being. So we had some contingencies in that project. So this will not be anything above that $14.3 million. We're still on track and everything is looking to be good.
When you say on track, now I'm kind of moving over to the construction question for you, and that is, are you on schedule, ahead of schedule, or because of storms, are you behind schedule with construction? Where are you at?
Funny that you asked that. We would be on schedule, but we keep getting rain, and so that part of it is delaying us a little bit. Storms were a part of it, but the bigger part is the rain. We don't want to mud is an issue, and also trying to get in and out of a work site that's got mud. So if anything, that's delayed. The plan is still to have that building brought in August at some point. If we're not quite done with everything that we need to do with the land, at least that building will be here. And as soon as it's ready to go, they'll be erecting that.
So is it a prefabricated building?
The metal building, all that's been constructed up to specs. And so, yep.
You say in August, we could be looking at the structure.
Well, the metal will be delivered. So I probably apologize for that. So they will bring all the metal and then that's what gets to be done. Olaf was the contractor that won that bid. So Richards is working through this and then Olaf will step in and go from there.
And of course, we've heard from some people out there that this bid that you guys accepted from McGough, right, was not the lowest bid. Because by law, the city has to pick the lowest bidder, right? There's some folks out there that say no. They, in this particular project, that they could have picked a lower bidder. What do you say to that?
Well, McGough is our CMAR, which is the construction manager at risk, and they're selected based off of an RFQ, which is request for qualifications. So there's no dollar amounts figured out for McGough. And then from there, they're the ones that go through, and there is a bidding process for every single one of those. And so every part that's separated out. So let's say the metal building, erecting that, that's one contract and one bid. The concrete, that's a bid. Dirt work, that's a bid. Down to painting. So all of those, we are required to take the lowest bid. Now, what some people might not realize is there might have been a low bid, but either A, maybe there was something in the contract that they didn't have fulfilled, or maybe there's sometimes there's other options that go into play, and if they don't recognize or understand those at the time, they go back, McGough would go back and say, okay, here's this, you guys accepted these pieces, are you still okay to do this? When it comes to the actual contractors, they all put in their bids, and then they go back through. And so sometimes, for an example, there was one, they take the lowest bid, and then the McGough goes back through it and makes sure that they're following all the guidelines. So for example, they went through one of the contractors, and they were actually missing a piece in their bid. And so they came back and said, okay, well, you do the bid for this price then, including what was required in those requirements. And some said, like in one case, they said, yeah, we'll still do it. And in another case, they said, oh, sorry, we didn't understand that. And so they chose not to. Well, then you have to go to the next lowest bidder after that. But otherwise, every single time, we are required to pick the lowest bidder.
And how many contractors are there? I think when I heard you earlier, just a few seconds ago, it sounded like there's four. Is there more than four contractors? You know, you talked about the concrete. That's a different contractor. The metal, different contractor. Can you tell us about that?
I would have to look into get the exact numbers, but I know there's over 10 for sure.
Okay.
So electric, that was, for example, Grotberg right here in town, they got the bid for electric. So that's another one. They have ones for like the interior, which would be if they're going to put up blinds or anything that kind of way, which some of those we decided those can wait.
Gwen, is there anything else that you would like to add to this story?
For the most part, if anybody has any questions, we always encourage them to reach out. We know how this goes, and getting the facts straight from the source is what we prefer. And so, yeah, that's what we would ask for people to do.
There's a lot of social media hype out there, and one doesn't know what to believe with the social media hype out there. And it's been an interesting challenge for city officials to try to answer the social media hype as you move forward with this project.
To be honest, we just are trying to get out the facts. That's it. You try not to get into all of the social media. A lot of people know what that can, and it can be a useful tool, but it also can be a lot for different things. And this kind of is a case in point. But we just want to get the facts out. That's how we'll continue to do going forward. And we're trying to be transparent. That's how this came up in the first place. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
I'll just summarize the project for the Public Works Building will still be $14.3 million, and it's on track to be completed. And the work to farm out that soil that we talked about that has petroleum in it and some other materials in it, that's about $300,000 to take care of that soil that will be used and repurposed at a later date. Gwen, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for asking us.
Gwen Crawford is the city administrator with the city of Valley City.